Hi, this is Mike Verdiccio. Welcome to another podcast here on ConfidenceAndJoy.com. Thanks for taking the time to listen. It's Wednesday, February the 29th, 2012. The 29th. Well, we have a leap year, an extra day for February. This is part one of this two-part series on the love of God. You know, one of the first things you gotta recognize when you're talking about God's love is that His love to us was not in response to our love toward Him. First of all, God's nature is love. The Bible says He is love. God is love. The Bible also says that He loved us first. In other words, He's the one who initiated the love. Why? Well, I mentioned this before in the last podcast, because that's His nature. God is love. And He demonstrated that love by giving His only begotten Son so that we could have eternal life. Now, I also mentioned in the last podcast, there are three remarkable things about God's love. First of all, love is giving. God gave His Son. But you know something? Love is much more than just giving. It is giving regardless of whether it's deserved or not. You know, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't earn or deserve God's love. And the third thing is that love is giving without requiring anything in return. God gave His Son for all of mankind. None of us deserved it, and since He gave His Son for all of mankind, He took a big chance, didn't He? What if all of mankind will not accept His Son? What if there would be those who would not respond back to Him? Has everyone accepted Christ? No, but that didn't stop God from giving His Son. So, love is giving, regardless of whether it is deserved or earned or not, and it is expecting nothing in return. That is how God, who is love, initiated His love to us in sending His Son to die for our sins so that you and I could have eternal life. That's why the Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. You know, a lot of Christians have it backwards. They think that God will love them because of what they do. You know, because you love Him and do all the right things and never make a mistake. No, 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 no. The Bible's very clear. He loved us first. We love Him because He first loved us. So what is God's love to you based on? I mean, what happens when you fall short, when you mess up? Does God still love you? Some might say, well, not until you ask for forgiveness. Others say, well, maybe not quite as much as he did before. You know, when a person messes up, many times they have thoughts like, gee, how could God love me? Look at what I've done. I've messed up again. I don't deserve His love. All right, now hold on just a minute here. Of course you don't deserve God's love. None of us deserve His love. And none of us could ever be good enough to earn it either. When a person gets born again, accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and believes that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says that you are saved. That is what is meant by whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now think about this for a minute. The Bible says that those who are born again are made righteous, which means we've been made right in the sight of God. In His eyes, we are right. We belong. We're already accepted. We've been justified, found not guilty. We are right. That's what righteous means. Now, we have that not because of anything we did. We have that because of what Jesus Christ did for us on our behalf as our Savior and as our Redeemer. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. But you see, the completed work of Christ has been so little understood, so undervalued, and as a result, so little appreciated. So here's the question. When you sin, when you fall short, does that make you just a little bit less righteous? And then the next time, a little bit less righteous? You see where this is going? Look, if you couldn't make yourself righteous before, and it took the work of Jesus Christ to make you righteous, and doing something wrong makes you unrighteous, how are you ever going to get back to being righteous again? Does Christ have to come and die again for you? You know something? All of us sin, fall short. We all do. And the Bible says that we not only have redemption, we have forgiveness. not because we're so sorry and promise to never do it again. Not because we feel so bad for having sinned again. None of that. We have forgiveness because Jesus Christ paid the price for all sins. All of them, yours and mine. He paid the full price for all sins. Boy, talk about God loving us. You know, because the price has been paid, we now have forgiveness. We may do something that's unrighteous, but Christ's completed work in us has made us righteous before God, and nothing can change that, just as nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's a complete work. Oh, I know what some people are thinking. They're saying, oh, well, what do you mean? Is that a license to sin and do whatever you want to do? You know something? We don't need a license to sin. God gave us all free will, right? We can do whatever we want to do. The bigger picture here is that after all that God has done for us, because of the completed work of Christ, out of love, now we love Him because He first loved us, knowing His love for you will never, ever waver. You have it for all eternity. So here's the point I'm trying to make. If you're not any less righteous, why would you think you're any less loved when you fall short? The Bible says nothing can separate you from God's love, nothing you do or refrain from doing. Not praying enough, not reading your Bible enough, doing something stupid you know is wrong. See, nothing means nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Now remember the first and great commandment? When they asked Jesus Christ, hey, what's the best commandment? What's the greatest one? You know, they didn't want an answer. They're just trying to trip him up. But he told them, the first and great commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second was to love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. How do you see yourself? You know something? We need to see ourselves as God sees us. Righteous. Accepted, loved, God's precious sons and daughters, where nothing can separate us from His love. You know, we don't love ourselves because of all our great accomplishments. We love ourselves seeing who God made us to be. Instead of looking at all our faults, we look at our Father and say, thanks for making me righteous in your eyes. Thank you for not letting anything separate you from loving me. Thank you for making me special in your eyes. Thank you for loving me. I'm loved. God loves me. And you know something? God loves you too. So the second great commandment that Jesus Christ said was to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And in part two, I'm going to look at that, loving your neighbor. And also in the next podcast, I'll tell you something that a medical doctor said about just how powerful the love of God is, and it'll just blow your mind. That's coming next time. Well, that's it for this podcast. If you have a comment, go ahead, type it in down below. And remember, if you're a subscriber, you don't have to check and see if I posted something new, because as a subscriber to this blog, you get notified personally every time I do post something new. Doesn't cost you anything to subscribe to the blog. It's free. But if you do, as my way of saying thank you, I'll give you a free lifetime membership to my site, Enriching Your Life Now. There's a link with some information down below. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, this is Mike Verdiccio. Have a great day.